They'd fallen asleep on the couch together, figuring out a way to sleep entwined so the narrow cushions were enough. But he was woken at dawn by the sound of an engine outside the house. The room glowed with yellow light. He lifted his head and listened for a minute as the sound peaked, then faded. He closed his eyes again and pressed his face back against her hair. He heard footsteps on the porch. Someone knocked lightly on the door. He got up and slipped into his clothes, thinking, "Is this her bad luck or mine?" He opened the door and smelled cigarette smoke. The sun was just rising over the factory on the other side of the street, and the low hills behind the factory were covered with mist. Sitting on the edge of the porch was a man in a worn leather jacket holding a bright red motorcycle helmet, his back to the door. The man tossed a cigarette butt into the dewy patch of grass between the porch and the street and turned his head.
"Hey, Everett," he said. "I wake you up?"
"Billy," said Chaos. The man's whole name was there in his memory. Billy Fault. Fault grinned, got to his feet, stuck out his hand. Chaos stared at him. Eyes too close together, forehead too narrow, smile all gum. You would have to have reasons for being friends with a face like that. The face itself didn't supply any. Chaos suspected he'd had reasons sometime in the past. Seeing the face again was like finding the same odd-looking rock on a beach twice.
"Actually, I knew you were asleep. That's the only way I could find you here. Your dreams, I mean."
"Dreams?" Chaos didn't want to hear this.
"Yeah, I've been picking them up for a couple of nights now. Finally tracked you down."
"Tracked me down how?"
"Just tuning in on your dreams, Everett. Like tuning in on a radio station. I'm good at that. Extra sensitive. Still took me all night, though."
"Where did you come from?"
"San Francisco, same as ever."
"As ever when?"
"We're all still there, Everett. Everybody except you.
You're out here in Fuckaduck. Excuse me. Vacaville."
"Everybody except you. Who did that mean?"
"Gwen?" "Can't get over this place," continued Fault. "All these old cars, it's like some kind of old suburban nightmare Twilight Zone episode. Nee, 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 nee."
He wiggled his fingers in front of Chaos's face.
"You been here a long time?"
"No," said Chaos. "How far is it from here, San Francisco, I mean?"
"It's about an hour's drive," said Fault. "Whole different world, though. You'll see. You're coming, right?"
"I don't know."
"Kale's expecting you."
He stopped and studied Chaos's expression.
"You remember Kale, Everett?"
"Kale Hotchkiss. That name was there, too." "Yes," Chaos said.
"Good," said Fault, grinning. "Well, you and Kale have some catching up to do. Listen, you want to go for a ride with me? There's a guy out here I want to visit."
"All right," said Chaos. At that moment, Edie stepped out onto the porch, dressed in a robe and blinking in the new light. "Edie," said Chaos nervously, "this is Billy, an old friend from San Francisco." "Hello," said Edie, staring.
"Hi," said Fault.
"We'll be out for a while, I guess," said Chaos. "Go back to sleep if you want. I'll be back." Now she looked at Chaos, her eyes questioning, but all she said was,
"Okay, see you then."
"Good, okay," said Chaos. Fault lit another cigarette and started down the steps.
"Remember, I moved today," said Edie.
"I'll be back before noon," said Chaos. He followed Fault to the motorcycle and climbed onto the back of the seat.
"I try to visit this guy whenever I'm out this way," said Fault as they roared down the highway around the edge of town. "Each time I think it's probably the last time I'll see him. He's a survivor, though. Back in the 60s, they tried to give him the chair."
"The chair?"
"He was famous before. Part of some murder thing. He didn't do it, though. They used to say his girlfriend killed the president. He's just a classic scapegoat, told people things they didn't want to hear. There's never any percentage in it being ahead of your time."
Before? It was all Chaos could do to get the question out. The wind was driving thin streams of tears out of the corners of his eyes.
You know, said Fault, before all the rules changed.
Fault sped past the few cars on the highway and exited on the far side of town, onto a street filled with abandoned fast food restaurants. He slowed down under a billboard that read, Foos, get lost in the world's largest outdoor maze. He stopped, cut the motor, and kicked out the stand.
That's where he lives.
In the maze?
Yeah, he's the only guy around here who doesn't have to move all the time.
I met someone who lives in an elevator, said Chaos. Fault raised his eyebrows.
Vacaville used to be famous for two things, a mental hospital and a maze.
Lucky's lived in both of them.
I never heard of a place with a maze before.
They modeled it on a famous maze in Japan. It was Japan's biggest tourist attraction. People coming from all over to get lost in this giant maze. But it didn't work in translation. I guess they needed a maze in Japan where everything's neat and tidy. In America, everybody's already wandering around lost, even before the changes.
America. Chaos remembered that name, too. It was the name for everything, all of this. Wyoming, California, Utah, and lots more. It wasn't just the second word in Little America. There was a Big America, only it was so big they didn't have to call it that.
When the change came, Lucky and some other guys broke out of the hospital and hid in the maze. The others left, but Lucky never figured it out. He thinks he's still famous. The truth is, nobody would even notice him now. I gave up trying to explain it to him.
Fault led him through a brightly painted carnival entrance and into the first chamber of the maze. The high walls were covered with graffiti, some arcane, some obscene. Fault followed a series of red, spray-painted arrows, and Chaos, trailing after, quickly lost his bearings.
Lucky? Called Fault.
Chaos was full of questions, but he didn't know where to begin. He wanted to ask Fault about the changes. He wanted to ask about Gwen. It was Everett that Gwen loved in the dreams, so if Chaos was really Everett... Chaos tried not to think about it. They turned a corner and, in a roofed-over section of the maze, found Lucky. He lay on a plastic mattress in the shade, reading a coverless paperback and humming loudly. He looked up at them and smiled, displaying a mouthful of ruined gray teeth. His face was weather-beaten and wrinkled and surrounded by a fringe of ratty beard. His clothes were rags.
"Hey, Lucky," said Fault.
He reached into his leather knapsack, pulled out a couple of cans of food, and handed them to the gaunt figure. Lucky sat up on his mattress and read the labels appreciatively, then tossed the cans onto a pile of junk under a rusted card table.
"You doing okay?" said Fault.
Lucky shrugged and smiled again.
Not doing anything.
But you're hanging in there.
Not hanging either, said Lucky and tittered.
They tried hanging me, Jack. They did their best. No, I'm just sitting here in this maze trying to keep the rain out of my beard and the pigs off my tail. Who's your friend, Jack?
His name is Everett, Lucky.
Everett, huh?
Lucky scratched at his beard, first thoughtfully, then like he'd found a flea. He seemed about to speak, but the moment stretched on and on.
Lucky, started Fault.
The old man suddenly straightened and glared at Chaos.
Why'd you come here? He said.
What? Said Chaos.
Why'd you come here, Everett? What the hell are you doing in Vacaville?
Everett's been kind of out of things for a while, said Fault. He's coming back to the city to see his old friends, get back in touch.
Why can't you let the man speak for himself, Jack?
Lucky waved his hand impatiently.
Get in touch, yeah. Where you coming from, Everett?
I was living in the desert, said Chaos.
Oh,
I used to live in the desert.
He turned to Fault.
That's not out of things, Jack. The desert is where it's at.
I didn't mean anything, said Fault.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem. You didn't mean anything.
He turned back to Chaos.
Don't let this jerk-off put you down. It's hard coming in out of the desert. I ought to know, man. When you get back to the city, they don't understand you anymore. Not after you've been in the desert.
But Everett's from the city, said Fault. He's coming back to his friends.
This isn't about friends, said Lucky. Is it?
I don't know, said Chaos. It's about a woman, isn't it?
You're looking for a woman. That's what this is about. That's why Everett's coming back to the city. Am I right?
I don't know, said Chaos.
Listen, Lucky, said Fault. We gotta go.
Yeah, said Lucky. You always gotta go. See you later, man.
He was back in his book before they'd turned the corner.
Sorry about that, said Fault on their way out of the maze. He doesn't usually get so weird.
It's okay, said Chaos, still full of questions. He almost wondered if he was still on the couch beside Edie, dreaming. The maze was strange enough, in fact, for a Kellogg dream.
But when they walked back out to the motorcycle and he saw the hills above Vacaville, he knew he wasn't dreaming.
Or rather, that his life and his dreams were finally coming together. Billy, he said.
Yeah.
When did it happen? The changes, I mean.
A few years ago.
What happened?
Fault grinned, showing his gums again.
That's a big question, Everett. Basically, a lot of the old connections between things fell away, which gave people a chance to make up new ones. But the new ones don't always stick. That's my version, anyway. People like Cale have got a lot of complicated ideas about it.
But there was a disaster of some kind.
I don't personally consider it exactly a disaster.
There's a lot I don't remember, Billy.
Fault looked impatient with the conversation.
I'm hungry, he said. Want to go find something to eat?
He patted the end of the seat.
Sure, said Chaos.
He got onto the motorcycle. The sun was high now, not quite overhead.
He wanted to get back to Edie and Melinda in time for the move. But he was hungry, too.
He also wanted to ride on the motorcycle again, wanted to feel the wind. In fact, he sort of wanted to ride Fault's motorcycle without Fault on it. He didn't suggest it. At the mall, they got in line for one of the cash machines. Fault was armed with a bootleg bank card. He'd steered them confidently into the middle of town, seeming comfortable here, but they were drawing a lot of stares from the people in cars, on the sidewalks, and in the parking lot of the mall.
Chaos hadn't seen any other motorcycles in Vacaville yet, and he felt conspicuous.
Fault coaxed money out of the machine and led Chaos to Palmer O'Brien's, a restaurant named after a character Chaos had seen on Edie's television, a sort of rockabilly singer turned maverick government man. Inside, over the counter, was a huge blow-up poster of O'Brien with a guitar, and the menu, which Chaos and Fault found printed on the laminated placemats at their booth, featured Palmer's breakfast scramble, Palmer's club sandwich, and the O'Brien boiled dinner, all the hero's favorites. And apparently he really ate there, or had once. The walls featured several framed glossies of O'Brien at various booths and visiting the grateful slobs in the kitchen. The restaurant was full but very quiet, and Chaos felt the weight of attention on them as they sat down. Were they just unfamiliar faces in a local hangout, or was there something in Fault's manner that said he didn't belong? Chaos hadn't attracted so many stares at the mall 2 days before, but then he'd been in Edie's company. Whatever the reason, when the waitress came to take their order, it was as though the whole restaurant was listening to see what they would eat. Chaos ordered a ham sandwich. Fault studied the menu, keeping the girl waiting, then giggled to himself.
I don't know, he said, looking up. I don't see it here.
Yes, said the waitress impatiently. She was young and had a natural pout.
Could you bring me Palmer O'Brien's head on a platter?
It got so quiet in the room that Chaos could hear people shifting in their seats as they turned to look at Fault. The waitress stood back on her heels and scowled.
"Just kidding," said Fault, still giggling. "I'll have what he had."
But she was walking away, and it wasn't clear that she'd heard him. She certainly hadn't jotted anything down. Her pencil was back behind her ear. Fault sank into the booth and screwed up his face sarcastically. Very gradually, the conversations around them resumed.
"Fucking sheep," said Fault quietly. "I wouldn't live in this place if you paid me. Everybody in love with their little tin god soap opera stars."
His voice wasn't low enough. Conversation died as people stopped to listen. Fault's response was to bleat like a sheep, quite loudly.
"Billy," said Chaos softly, "maybe we should go somewhere else to eat."
"No way," said Fault. "I'm hungry."
Now they were the center of attention. When the waitress came back out with a plate, the whole restaurant watched to see if she would go to their table. When she put a single ham sandwich in front of Chaos, there was a roar of whispers. Chaos tried to defuse things by pushing the plate to a spot midway between them. The sandwich was cut in half, after all. But Fault pushed it back.
"Where's mine?" he said loudly.
The waitress swiveled away.
"Shit," said Fault.
He turned around and made faces at the people behind him. Chaos chewed the corner off a triangle of sandwich hopelessly, his hunger draining away. Fault made the bleeding sound again, then ostentatiously emptied the pocket of his leather jacket onto the table. Out tumbled a hypodermic syringe and a stoppered glass vial. Fault plunged the needle into the vial, drew the contents up into the syringe, and began rolling up his sleeve. A man across from them rustled in the pocket of his coat, took out a ticket book and pen, and began scribbling like a parody of the waitress taking their order. Then, as though the ice only had to be broken, five or six other people flipped open identical books and began racing to fill out the ticket. Fault just stared. The first man and a fat woman with her chubby son in tow jumped up at the same time and held finished tickets out to Fault.
"I was first," said the woman quickly, edging in front of the man.
"No, I saw them first," said the man tensely.
"We all saw them," said the woman. "That doesn't count for anything. We all saw them the moment they walked in here."
She thrust her ticket at Fault, who was slapping at his arm to raise a vein.
"You'd better take it," she said. "I can write you another one for resisting citation."
"Stuff it, lady," he injected himself.
"Stop that," said a man who'd fallen too far behind in writing his ticket and given up. "You can't do that in here."
"You'd better take the ticket and leave," advised the woman. "I don't think it matters," said Fault.
He put the needle back onto the table.
"I'm not from around here, see? And where I'm from, people don't go around giving each other tickets."
"Give it to him," said a man at the booth behind Fault. He pointed at Chaos. "He lives here, and he brought him here. He should know better."
"Fair enough," said the fat woman cheerily. "You take it."
She handed the ticket to Chaos, who took it and put it in his pocket. He wanted to go, but felt paralyzed. At that moment, the waitress reappeared with a grease-smeared cook, his hair in a net, who stood glowering behind her.
"Get out," she said.
"Fuck you," said Fault.
"I called the government," she said. "They're on their way. You'll be very sorry if you don't go now."
"I'm not leaving until I get my sandwich, until you make Palmer O'Brien come here himself."
"That can probably be arranged," growled the cook. "But you won't be laughing long if it comes to that."
"In fact, I want Palmer O'Fucking Brian to bring me my sandwich and serenade me while I eat," jeered Fault. "That would do the trick."
"Okay, you jackass," said the cook, pushing past the waitress and grabbing Fault by the collar. He jerked him up out of the booth and pushed him towards the door.
Chaos took Fault's motorcycle helmet, leaving the vial and needle on the table, and followed the cook and Fault out the front door of the restaurant. The man who'd written the first ticket, the waitress, and several others followed. Outside, a crowd from the mall was already gathering around Fault and the cook.
"Pay up," said the cook, shoving Fault backwards.
"I didn't get anything," said Fault.
He spat on the ground between them and straightened his collar defiantly. Several of the people around them were busily writing up tickets.
"He won't take it," someone warned. Someone else said,
"That one's staying with Gerald Bitter's ex-wife. If he won't take it, you can send it to her."
Chaos pushed forward past the cook and handed Fault his helmet.
"Let's go," he said.
Fault spat again, but the cook didn't notice. He was distracted by someone's trying to give him a ticket for leaving his post in the restaurant.
"Thinks he's on TV," said a woman disdainfully.
The event degenerated into squabbles between the Palmer O'Brien loyalists who'd been in the restaurant and others who'd only seen the cook roughing up Fault outside. The crowd buzzed with the news that the government had been summoned. Who would appear? Someone claimed she'd seen President Kentman himself. Chaos and Fault slipped away to the parking lot.
Fault, it turned out, didn't know the way back to Edie's house. He'd only gotten there the first time by following Chaos's dreams, he explained again. They found the house by taking the highway all the way out of town to the east, then doubling back until Chaos spotted the right overpass. His pink splattered car was gone from where they had abandoned it, a loose end the government didn't permit, apparently. It made Chaos think of Melinda, their trip together. He felt a pang of guilt. As Fault slowed in front of the house, Chaos could see that something wasn't right. Edie's car was gone, and another was parked in its place. There was a spotted black-and-white dog leashed to the front porch, and it barked at them as they dismounted.
"Shit," said Chaos.
"What?"
"Moving day."
"Oh, man, I'm sorry."
Chaos went up the porch steps, let the dog sniff his hand, and knocked on the door. The woman who answered was middle-aged and black.
"Sorry to bother you," said Chaos. "The people who were here before."
"Yes?"
"Did you see them?"
"They were a little late getting out, as a matter of fact. How can I help you?"
"Was there a little girl with, fur all over her body?"
"Yes, her and an older woman." The black woman peered out past Chaos at Fault and his motorcycle.
"But who's asking?"
"You don't know where they went, do you? They didn't leave any word."
"No, I'm sorry." She shut the door.
As Chaos walked back down the porch steps, Cooley drove up and parked behind Fault's motorcycle, then got out and strolled over to where Fault was standing. Chaos hurried to intercept him.
"Hello, Chaos," said Cooley. "Looking for Edie?"
"Well, actually, I know. I just saw her. She's all worried. Says you went off with some old friend. I told her to relax. Said I'd go back and find you."
"This your pal?"
"Yeah, Billy. Ian, pleased to meet you."
"Yeah."
Fault shook his hand.
"Where you from?"
"San Francisco."
Billy sounded nervous.
"Really? I haven't been to the city for a while. What brings you this way?"
Fault jerked his thumb, indicating Chaos. It should have looked casual, defiant, but Fault's expression made it come off as tongue-tied.
"Old pals, eh?" Cooley's tone was insinuating. "Heard you got into a little bit of a fuss up at the mall."
Fault took a step backwards. He seemed cowed. Chaos wondered if Fault was sensitized to Cooley's status as a government star, tuned into the ideology like everyone else around here. It didn't make sense otherwise. Cooley wasn't any more imposing than the cook at the mall, and he wasn't backed by a crowd.
"A bit of one," said Chaos, answering for Fault.
There was a moment of tense silence. Then Cooley laughed, loudly. Fault stared, then tittered too, sycophantically. He suddenly reminded Chaos of Edge.
"Bit of one," Cooley repeated.
"They give you a ticket?"
He held out his hand.
Chaos dug it out of his pocket and coolly examined it. Well, well. He tore it in half and then into quarters and let the pieces flutter into the mud of the road. Edie doesn't need any more of those at the moment. This one wasn't her fault, anyway, for once. Or your fault, for that matter. Except, it was your bad luck that brought this little shithead into town. What? Said Fault. You heard me, said Cooley. You used a fake card in that cash machine, stole money from the folks that live here. We don't need that fancy San Francisco crap around here. Give me the card. Fault handed Cooley the bootleg cash card, and Cooley pocketed it. Okay, motor boy. Basically, I want you out of town, except you can give your pal Chaos a lift to Edie's new place. So go sit over there on the porch while Chaos and I have a word or two. Fault walked over to the porch without a murmur. You and Edie are a real magical combination, Chaos. Bad luck is exponential, you know. If you're going to add that much bad luck to your life, you better upgrade your radar and quick. Learn to spot trouble like this one a mile off. He jutted his chin at Fault. Where's Edie? Asked Chaos. I'll give you a new address, Chaos. But I want something in exchange. I want you to say you'll come in Monday morning and take the test. I could find Gerald's building, Chaos pointed out. Wait there until she comes to pick up the boys. I don't need your help. You don't understand. You think I'm jerking your chain, but I'm trying to help. I'm saying take the test, get squared away with us, get on the rolls. We'll sign you up for a work shift, too. I'm saying welcome aboard, stick around a while. The test is just the way we do things around here. Not everybody's all hounded and paranoid all the time, Chaos. Not everyone's like Edie. You'll find that out if you give it a chance. You want me away from Edie? Okay, Chaos. Cooley grinned his wide grin. Whatever. Here I am, about to give you her address and trying to help you get lined up for a test, which, if you're going to stick around here, with Edie or not, is a must. And you're suggesting you might prefer to spend the night with Gerald instead? Your choice. Chaos didn't say anything. Edie's due for a work shift Monday. She can drop you off at my office on her way to punch in. Test takes about an hour and a half. I'll think about it. Saying this, he felt defeated. Good enough. Cooley gave him directions, and Chaos immediately felt cheated. Edie had moved just a few blocks away. And I don't mean to be harsh, Cooley continued. Yes. But after that son of a bitch takes you to her place, I want him gone. They drove off. Chaos and Fault towards Edie's new apartment and Cooley in the opposite direction. Fault began muttering oaths the minute Cooley's car was out of sight. Chaos didn't ask him why he'd waited so long.
I've got to get some sleep, Fault said absently when they pulled up in front of the three-story apartment building. Edie was at the top. Otherwise, I'd stick around.
That's all right, said Chaos. He wanted to go upstairs. He needed to think.
So you get things settled, continued Fault. I'll be back to pick you up tomorrow, okay?
What?
Bright and early, while this town's still asleep, so we won't run into any of your fascist friends, you know? Just slip out while they're fixing their morning's coffee.
Well,
you're coming to the city, right? Kale's expecting you.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. He didn't want to leave Edie, but he didn't want to take the luck test either. Couldn't hurt to have Fault come back, he decided. He wouldn't go if he didn't want to.
Here, said Fault.
He dug in his satchel and pulled out a black plastic cartridge.
Kale wanted me to give you this. You need a VCR to watch it.
VCR?
Ask Edie. They're built into most of the televisions around here, I think. She'll know.
Chaos took the cartridge. Fault lit a cigarette and struck a pose on his motorcycle, as though reconstituting his image as a rebel after Cooley's dismantling. He strapped on his helmet and revved the engine.
Shoot 'em out, Everett.
Everett. Chaos had momentarily forgotten. He took the name and the cartridge upstairs.